Today we have Darwin Jackson and his wife Alma with us. We're looking forward to hearing from them during the sermon slot and then during the Sunday school time. So,
well, so thankful that we can be here. It has been a long time. We are with the World Mission Prayer League, Lutheran mission, and prayer is our working method, as we say, and so that's fitting. We talk prayer. We highlight prayer. And so the verse, Luke 10:2 goes like this. He told them, Jesus told them, his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, or truly plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest. One more time, since it's only one verse. He told them, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. I heard supposedly a true story about Alexander the Great. He had a famous philosopher in his cabinet, I guess, and very famous for giving wisdom and so on, but he was a very poor feller, and there was a time in his life when he came into desperate need, and so who else would he go to but to Alexander to ask for help? And he went to him and asked for help with his need, and Alexander told his treasurer, you take him over and give him what he needs. So they went over to the treasure house, and he asked him for such a great sum. It was something like 10,000 pounds, and I don't have any idea how much that really was, but evidently it was a great sum because the treasurer was kind of taken back. And he says, wait a minute, you should make this a little more reasonable. Why don't you ask for something, in line with what's reason, with good reason there? And he says, no, I need such and such. And they went back and forth, kind of arguing there about what would be reasonable. Finally, the treasurer, he wouldn't give it to him. And he went to Alexander and he says, he wants this huge sum of money. That just doesn't seem right. And Alexander said this. Give it to him. Because I like very much the way of thinking of this philosopher. He has made me a singular honor, for the magnitude of his petition demonstrates the elevated idea he has conceived both of my superior wealth and of my royal grace. He liked the bigness of his prayer. And so I want to talk about this verse in those terms. What's the biggest prayer you've ever asked for? Biggest prayer. Surely something's coming into your mind now. Maybe healing for cancer, or money's for to pay the mortgage, or whatever it may have been. I hope that this verse can show how this verse really challenges us to pray big, to pray in extreme, to pray in extreme prayer. Jesus said once, up to now you have not asked me for anything in my name. Ask, and it'll be given to you. And I believe Jesus is challenging us. Pray large. Pray big. A fellow missionary who works in the East, he doesn't want to give the name, actually, of where he serves for safety's sake. But he was on a kind of like a furlough like we're on right now. And part of the furlough time or home assignment time is a time to study, to kind of sharpen your tools, and get ready to go back. Sharpened up, and he was asked to give an end vision, of his ministry as he goes back, and it wasn't clear to him, what's that mean? What would an end vision mean? And the director told him, well, we want you to pray about it, and study your word with your wife about it, and come back, and we want you to come up with an idea of how many people you can lead to Christ in the next 3 years and how many churches you'll plant. So they went and did that. And as they prayed and looked over God's Word and kind of reminisced over the last 3 or 4 years, they thought, well, we were able to win about 200 people to the Lord in the last 4 years, and we planted 3 churches. And we have a field right now, we're going back to a field of about 20 million people. Wow, what's that? 200 people and 3 churches amongst 20 million people who have never heard the gospel before. And so it was a stretcher to them. And as they prayed about it and studied the word about it, they came back and told their director, when we go back these next 4 years, we want to win at least 1,800 people to the Lord. And we want to start 200 new churches. That's what we prayed about, and that's our goal. That's a big one. That's a big thing, isn't it? I mean, it almost seems like craziness. I'm going to get back to the end of that story in a bit. But I think Jesus is asking us, and we would ask you, to pray with us about Mexico. What God would have us to do in these next 4 years in Mexico. Looking at this verse, let's take it in pieces, as it's a big verse. Let's take just in portions. The first little part of it, he says, the harvest is plentiful. We learned a new term while we were down in St. James at the Hosanna Free Lutheran Church. And they send greetings, by the way. Hosanna Free Lutheran Church, farmers there with corn and what is it? Soybeans, I guess, was the big crop down there. I don't know if here's the same kind of thing. And they told us about this term called a bumper crop. Bumper crop. That's a new one on me. I'm not the farmer, neither son of a farmer. But a bumper crop, which means, right? I guess it means a big crop, right? An abundance. And that's what Jesus is telling us here. The harvest is plentiful. It's a bumper crop. Now, what harvest? Is he talking about corn and soybeans or beans, as in our neck of the woods down south, beans and corn or chilies and tomatoes? What crop is he talking about? And I think we all know he's talking about people. Right? People. And not just any people, but people who need to hear the gospel of Christ. People who need to hear the gospel. Remember the parable of the wheat and the tares in Matthew chapter 13. Well, Jesus kind of sums up his parable on the wheat and the tares, giving an interpretation of it in verses 38 and 39 of Matthew 13. He says like this, "The field is the world, and the good seeds stand for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age. And the reapers are the angels." People. When we're talking about the harvest is plentiful, our minds should immediately take hold of it. He's not talking about corn. How wonderful it is. And beautiful, the fields of corn. When we first got up in this area, they were green and tall, and now they're brown, or else they're cut off. There's nothing in there, you know. They have harvested the corn by now. But Jesus is talking about people, you know, grandparents and moms and dads and youth and children, babies, people who need to hear the gospel of Christ. The harvest is about soul winning, evangelism, discipleship, planting churches. The harvest is plentiful. You know, at the time of Christ, they say, when he spoke these words, the harvest is plentiful. There's a bumper crop of souls that need to hear the gospel. They say that there was about 300 million people on the planet at the time. 300 million people. Now what would Jesus say? What would Jesus say today as he looks out on the world at 7.6 billion? More than 25 times the people. bumper crop. Harvest is plentiful. Man. You know, with that number, I was looking at one website. It's a website called Poodle Waddle. I don't know why it's called that. But they say that with the population as we have today, that in 1 year, think about it, in this year, 2018, approximately 55.3 million people will die. More than 55 million people. Think of that. That comes to 151,600 every day. Every day, 151,000 people will pass from this life into the next. That's, in our time worshiping together, 6,316 people will go in every hour. Every hour. 105 every minute. That's about two people every second, you know. Many are called and few are chosen, you know. I mean, how many of those are going off into eternity without Christ, without hope? The harvest is plentiful, our Lord says. When we just got here, there was like in Minneapolis where the mission is, in the stadium there, they had something like 50,000 Muslims congregate there. 50,000 Muslims there. And you could just about say that every single one of them was without Christ. But one day I was taking a park there, and Loring Park is right behind the mission. I was taking a walk one morning, and I come across a feller sitting in a wheelchair there in the park, looking down at the lake. And as I got closer to him, a police car came into the park and drove right up to him with the lights on. And so they got there ahead of me in time to put their hand on his neck, and he, obviously he was gone. And as I saw him, he looked like a Somalian or something like that. But I thought, wow, there's 49,999 Muslims that are in this part of the world. Just like that, the harvest is plentiful. Harvest is plentiful, says our Lord. And then the next part, and notice that there's a little word separating part one and part two. The harvest is plentiful. There's a bumper crop of souls that need to hear the gospel, but the laborers are few. See, he's contrasting two different things here to show us our need for prayer. First of all, the multitude of souls who need to hear the gospel, and then the very few that are actually bringing the gospel, sharing the gospel with those people who need it so bad. So few. Even Jesus in a parable, Matthew chapter 20, talking about laborers who were hired to go work in the fields. And verse 6, the Lord says, about 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. And he asked them, why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? You know, I think the Lord is just taken back by it. The harvest is so plentiful. Where are the workers? Where are those out sharing the gospel? But I think the why, I mean, why he's telling them to pray comes, we can see why, by the context, we can see why that's the case. Because as he's walking along, really, literally, heading toward Jerusalem, chapter 9 says he set his face like flint toward Jerusalem. Nothing was going to turn him to the right or left. He was going to Jerusalem to a cross, right, for every one of the 7.66 billion that are alive today. He was going to the cross. But as they're walking along, all of us have read 57 to 62 before. As they're walking along, A man said to him, I'll follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, we all know this. Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Another says, he says to another, follow me. Ah, Lord, but let me first go bury my father. He says, ah, let the dead bury their own dead. You go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I'll follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of heaven. So why is it that there's so few workers? It's a bit of a stretcher. It's tough not to know where you're going to lay your head tonight. It's tough, right? I mean, it's not an easy thing. It's not easy to do that, to just go anywhere. Jesus said in another place, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed, but if it dies, it produces many seeds. Amen? There, I think, is the issue. Why are there so few out sharing the gospel, out into the world, proclaiming the kingdom of God? It's hard to die. Don't want to die. It's not an easy thing. Not an easy thing. But Jesus is Lord, and He calls us to go. Even a lot of times it's something. We meet with a lot of missionaries and talk with a lot of them around and don't want to be fooled. A lot of people who even go as missionaries don't actually share the gospel. Even you know, in a lot of cases, it's really hard to, and it's even illegal to. A lot of the places our mission send people, you can't go as an evangelist or as a church planter kind of thing. You have to go either as an engineer, a doctor, or something like that. A sister of ours at the mission worked in and works in India, rescuing young girls, especially children, from prostitution, and brings them and shares the gospel with them and brings them to Christ. But for a time, she was able to work in Calcutta with Mother Teresa, and spend some time working. She said it was a great blessing to her, real blessing to be able to work with them ladies, seeing their dedication. Serving the absolute destitute of this world, but something did come to bother her, and she set an appointment one time to actually meet with Mother Teresa, and she got the meeting, and she met with her, and how gracious she was. But our sister Carmen asked her, Mother, why is it that As we have these, we bring these people in, and they're dying. There a lot of them. There's no hope for them. They all go in there knowing that they're going to die, and we care for them. We embrace them. We feed them. We give them. Try to make them as comfortable as we can, and so on. But why is it that we don't tell them of the Savior? Why is it that we don't bring them to Jesus? This is their last chance. And Mother Teresa told her this, but it isn't. But it isn't. In Catholic theology, this isn't the only chance in this life, you know, and in purgatory and so on, you will have another chance. But as we know, the Bible doesn't teach that at all, you know. So many out there who are serving don't share the gospel. Oh, the labors are few, says our Lord. But now the bright side. Now the part that's for all of us as well. Therefore, he says, because of this great contrast, the bumper crop of souls that need to hear the gospel today, and the labors are so few, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth workers. Pray the Lord of the harvest. Now personalize this a little bit. Remember what the harvest is. Therefore, pray to the Lord of all these people who need to hear the gospel. That He would send forth workers into His people who need to hear the gospel. It says His harvest. His people. Remember, Jesus bought and paid for every soul on planet Earth with His blood. He didn't die just for us. He died for everyone. Everyone. But they can't be saved until they hear the gospel, until they have a chance to open their hearts and receive Him, to receive Him by faith. It's an urgent command to pray. He's feeling it. Here, some of His disciples are going back. At least three of them. Who in John chapter 6, it says that a whole slug of them went back. Remember that? He said to Peter and the 12 there, "You two, you guys going back too?" Peter said, "Oh Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life." Jesus feels it. So He feels the urgency. I remember a story of the great Hudson Taylor, the missionary to China, and he was sharing the gospel with a feller, presented the gospel to him over a period of months, and the man was convicted of his sin, but when he thought that he could be forgiven for all of his sins, so yesterday, today, and forever, by putting his trust in the Lord Jesus and what He did on the cross, it just seemed too good to be true. So he hadn't made his decision yet. And they were on a boat going up a river, and I don't know, because of current, because of the waves or whatever, but this I think his name was Peter, fell into the river. And Hudson was frantic, and he's yelling at him, stop the boat, man overboard. And you know, they didn't seem very excited. They didn't want to stop the boat. And he was going back and forth, and he couldn't find him anywhere. Somebody throw the net overboard, something. And another fishing boat came up beside him, and he was yelling at that boat, "Man, overboard, throw down your nets." And they wouldn't move. And finally, they said, well, in Spanish they go like this, you know, "How much? How much? How much will you pay us? How much will you pay it? How much will you give us to fish him out of the river?" And he says, "I don't know, I'll give you $100, whatever. You just throw your net in, throw it." "No, that's not enough. How much you got? How much will you pay us? Come on." "Okay, 200," or I don't remember the exact number it was. But there they were, bartering. And finally he says, "I'll give you everything I have. Everything I have, just throw your net." And he says, "Well, all right." So they throw the net in, and they got him out right away. Whew. But it was too late. He's gone. He was gone. Well, they bartered over how much. Over how much. The labors are few. Therefore, and this verse has this desperation to it. When he says, "Send forth workers," it's something. It's the Greek word ekbalo there. You know, the same word that's used when the Bible says that Jesus ekbalo demons out of a man. Or we would say cast out. No, He cast out demons. It's the same word. See, He's saying pray the Lord of the harvest, not just to kind of, you know, "Oh Lord, would Your Spirit kind of work in them slowly?" And no, He's saying, "Lord, will You get them by the shirt tail and the back of the pants and get them out there?" Because the harvest, we're not talking about one man overboard. We're talking about two every second. Imagine that. Two every second are dying on this earth. And most of them without Jesus. And the laborers are so few who are sharing the gospel. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest. So we would like to challenge you this morning. Back in the back we have a little table with a paper there, a sign-up sheet to sign up for our email prayer list to receive information and where we're going, we're going to talk about what we're doing in a bit. But I'm telling you, this time as we go back, we need prayer more than ever before. So we would ask you to pray, to consider that, to let it even haunt us. The amount of people there are today without Jesus. And you know how many missionaries with the World Mission Prayer League are going to Mexico nowadays? It's not a big number because they're with you this morning. That's it. When we first went out 20 years ago, there was a whole bunch of us where we could have our own conferences and everything. Director, and we could have a treasurer and all those kind of things. And now, where are they? The harvest is more plentiful than ever. And the laborers are less than ever. So, I want to challenge you with it. How many of us have cell phones this morning? Have a cell phone? If you have it, I give you permission, and I would challenge you to take it out right now. Take out your cell phone. Yeah, most of us have smartphones, have cell phones. You got your cell phone? Take it out and open the app that's your alarm clock. Your clock there, your alarm clock. And that challenges, set your alarm clock for 10:02 in the morning. Set it for 10:02 and set it to ring or vibrate. Probably a better vibrator. Pastor will get on me when in the worship service here, all the phones' alarms are going off, right? So vibrate to be better. At 10:02 every morning the phone would ring, or the alarm clock go off, to remind us that at 10:02, at Luke 10:2, Jesus is encouraging us, challenging us, pleading with us to pray every day, "Oh God, send forth laborers. Send forth more." And it's something, you know, you think he'll do it? If we all unite, look at us all here. If we all every day pray at 10:02, "Oh God," the same prayer, send forth workers. Think he'll do it? Think he wants to? If he tells us to pray that way, you think he really will do it? I think so. I believe so. Oh, man. A little early, but wait, what's on mine? What time is it? 10? Look at it. In a couple minutes, yeah? Yeah. Let's pray. Let us pray this morning even. We'll start now. Heavenly Father, we join with you just now, this morning, in your burden and your passion. We know you're passionate because you sent your own Son into this world to pay for our sins, for all sins of all mankind, for all time, because you love us much. So God, pour into us your love, pour into us your passion. Break us if need be. Lord, we join with you in this prayer that you taught us to pray. Not just our Father who art in heaven, how wonderful it is to pray that every day, but we join you in this, in praying that you would send forth, thrust forth laborers into your harvest. Lord, that many be saved, that many would hear the glorious and wonderful name of Jesus, the only name given under heaven by which we must be saved. Work in us, Lord, and just like these disciples as they prayed every day, Lord, the very next verse, you said, "Go." And so we pray that you would use us as well, Lord. Use us. We offer ourselves to you. Use us to win many. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen.